All right. I want to just mention a few things, and I want us to minister to Jesus this morning and have him touch us. I want us to live here having the experience that Jacob had in Genesis 32 by the time we leave this service, that we will definitely have a Jacob becoming Israel experience in the name of Jesus. All right. So let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 5. I want to talk about what I call getting to a touch. Getting to a touch. Luke chapter 5. From verse 12 to 16. The first time, I'm sorry, I didn't finish my script. The script included that if you are a man in this that just joined us, you have called Victor. And if you are a lady, you are called Victoria. And for all of us, it is victory all the way. And that's going to be your experience in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass in a certain city that, behold, give me King James. You know me, I like King James. I just like it. And people say, let me contemporary. I know. And King James is not as old as it look. You know, that translation look. It's, I don't think it's up to 1,000 years old. And 1,000 years with the eternal God, that's just a second. Oh, less than a second. Okay, media is still thinking. Let me read the King James here. King James, Luke chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 13. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Verse 14. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more, when there a fame abroad of him, and a great multitude came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. And verse 16 says, so he himself withdrew into the wilderness, or he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. In the ministry of Jesus, you will see some characteristics in the ministry of Jesus. And one of the running theme or thing that you see again and again in the ministry of Jesus is the ministry of prayer. It is no surprise that Jesus is still interceding today, because immediately Jesus took on flesh, Jesus really gave himself to prayer. You know, in Luke chapter 4, the Bible talked about the fact that he went into the wilderness and he prayed 40 days and 40 nights. And by the time you get to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, and then you will have thought that by Luke chapter 5, when he's doing all the other things, he will just continue business as usual. But you could see that Jesus was always in between prayers. He was always in between prayers. Everything revolved around prayers. So whether he's either he has just finished praying or he's about to go and pray. Every time you see Jesus, he's either coming from a prayer place or going to a prayer place. He's either just finishing prayer and then, or he's either just going into prayer. And I think that is instrumental for us, because if you really want to get to a touch, especially a touch from God, you need to learn the ministry of prayer. It was what Jacob eventually found out in Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. I think we should go there. Genesis 32. Read a few scriptures there. Maybe, yeah. Genesis 32. Let's start from verse 30. Genesis 32. Verse
It says, so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun on him rose, and he limped on his feet. Then verse 32 says, therefore to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muzzle that shrank, because, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. This experience that Jacob had here was a prayer experience, was an encounter. And it was an encounter of, or the example of prevailing prayers. And the Bible said, because of this encounter of prevailing prayer, he got to a touch. One of the routes to get to a touch is prayer. Jesus always is between prayer and you and I. If we are getting to a touch, one of the things we need to understand is understand the ministry of prayer and its value in getting us to a touch from Jesus. Because let me tell you the truth. There are some times God can touch you. But many, many times, or all the time, you can touch God. God touching you is like a sovereign matter. It's like, for example, God can just decide that irrespective of your faith, irrespective of what you do, I will just show up and I'll come and touch you. That's what happened to Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, how on earth can you prepare to be Mary, the mother of Jesus? There is no protocol to that. You cannot decide and say, well, I am going to be the next mother of the Savior. You don't even know that there's a Savior. The people that were expecting the Messiah, they were not expecting the Messiah to come the way the Messiah came. So there is no expectation. There is no prayer point to say, God, I want to carry the Messiah. No, there's nothing like that. But God decided and chose someone and did whatever he wanted to do. But there are ways that you can touch God. And many times people are waiting for God to touch them. They don't understand that they can also touch God. And this morning I'm just showing you some of the protocol that get us to a place of a touch. Either he touches us or we touch him. And I prefer to touch him. That is why the ministry of prayer is good. You know, sometimes people argue and say, if God wants to do, he will do it. Yes, that is, God can touch. But there are sometimes, even though he wants to do it, it's not that you make him do it, but you give him reasons. You give him raw material. You give him what to make him do it. And that's what the ministry of prayer is for. Why would Jesus every now and then be going to God to go and pray every now and then? Especially because, remember that he's man, but also remember that he's God. And he knew that he was God while he was on earth. He didn't have amnesia. He would see him, he would tell them, before Abraham was, I am. He knew. He knew who he was. But why was he always spending time in prayer? Because he understood that the protocol of getting to a touch from God, a big part of that protocol is prayer. So when we talk about a house of prayer, we are talking about a house that gets to God. A house that gets a touch from God. If my child needs a touch, if my business needs a touch, if my marriage needs a touch, I am in between prayers. I understand that I'm either going into prayer or I'm leaving prayer. I don't let prayer become an item that I come to when everything fails. Because that's how many of us are. We leave it until things are in the diamond. They'll say, has it gotten to that time of we are spending so much time in prayer? Excuse me, if you want constant touch from God, be like Jesus. Be in between prayers. Be going into prayer or either leaving the place of prayer. Be a mobile house of prayer. Be a man that when you are standing in the presence of people, you are also praying under your breath. Make it a habit, a custom that every now and then and everywhere you pray. There are many of us, we have learned the art of turning our car into a mobile altar. We always pray in the car. But some of us have not learned how to turn our office into a prayer place. Oh, pastor, are you saying I should use my buses this time for God? Am I not going to rob him? No, I'm not saying you should do that. But I'm saying you can be prayer conscious. That when you are not even using words from your lips, your heart is praying. When Elijah stood before Ahab the other day, Elijah told Ahab, he said, Ahab, there will be no rain or dew, although I'm standing before you, before God whom I stand. I am physically before you, but my mind, my spirit is constantly standing before God and prostrate in the place of prayer, because I understand that if I have to get to a touch, I need to either be entering the place of prayer or leaving the place of prayer. So the protocol of getting to a touch starts with having the posture of either coming from a prayer or getting to a prayer. In this story that we just read, Jesus came into a place, or the omnipresence of God was available. But it is possible for Jesus or the presence of God to be available, and it is possible for people not to benefit from it, and only a person will benefit from it. Many people think that whenever there is a move of God, it will affect everybody. No, sir. The Bible said Jesus on a certain day came to a certain place, but the Bible did not say that Jesus wanted only a certain person. There were people there, but at that certain place, there was a certain person that made a certain decision to be able to touch God. So this morning I'm saying to you that the presence of God can be in a place which is omnipresence of God, but some people may not profit from it. Because to profit from the presence of God is not just for the presence to be available, you need to maximize the presence of God. God is omnipresent. I'm sure that's no news to any one of us here. But the omnipresence of God, for it to turn to the manifest presence of God, where that presence will touch you personally, will touch you specifically. There are things that you need to do. There is a way you have to receive that omnipresence of God to convert it into the manifest presence of God. God is everywhere, but he's not manifesting himself everywhere. The reason he's not manifesting himself is that he's looking for a certain person. Jesus was in a place, and there was a certain person that understood, just by the mercy of God, how to be able to move the hand of Jesus when Jesus was in a certain place. And I want to tell you this morning that when Jesus is in a certain place, like Jesus is here this morning, the first thing you need to do is be sensitive. Be sensitive to him. Jesus is here as the Holy Spirit this morning. Be very sensitive to him. Be sensitive to him. Many times when we come into the place of service, people don't know that the Spirit of God moves like water. And it moves in such a way that the water can move past you. It can just flow past you. The worship team sang to us today that the river is flowing. The river is flowing, is not waiting. The river is not going to become a dam in front of you. If the river is flowing, you jump into the river and let it carry you. But many times people come into service, and sometimes the distraction is based on where you put your mind on, that this is where God will move. Most times people are waiting till maybe when the word comes out, maybe when pastor begins to pray and begins to call out cases and begins to lay hands. And sometimes we may never get to those places. Just be sensitive. You may just come into service. It is when they sang one of the songs. Do you know that one of the reasons that I knew that God will do what he will do in this service, for example, today, are the songs that were sung? Because as I was in the car and I was just praying, one of the things, I just started to meditate in my own spirit about rivers. And I wasn't going to talk about rivers. I was just, for some reason, just meditating and thinking about rivers. So when I came into the service and I started hearing them singing about rivers, I said, okay, I am where I'm supposed to be. Because maybe I'm supposed to be in Boston or Ohio, but I know I am where I'm supposed to be. So one of the things you do when you want to convert the omnipresence of God into the manifest presence of God is that you learn to be sensitive. The Bible speaking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, quench not the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. Be sensitive. Don't do things that would diminish the power of God. Don't get distracted. Don't focus on the wrong thing. Don't let what you left be calling you. Don't be distracted by what you have put aside. This generation, we are the generation that wherever we find ourselves, we are not there. The place we just left. The trash, thinking about laundry. But you've left home. You are not in church. When you were at home and trying to do laundry, you were thinking about church. You are thinking about every other thing. The one you will do or the one that you have not done. And God is saying this morning, if you want to experience and maximize the move of the Spirit, you have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. You have to be keen. You have to quiet yourself. You have to focus. You have to give Him yourself, your attention. You have to be in the moment. You have to be vested. You have to be involved. You know, it's very interesting that this manifest presence of God wants your presence too. He doesn't want you to be absent and then you will just be moving anyhow. No, 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 no. You have to be present. What happened to Jacob in that Genesis chapter 32 as opposed to what happened to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28 was the presence, Jacob's presence, the way Jacob came into the experience. In Genesis 28, Jacob was absent-minded. Jacob was not present-minded. So when he saw what was happening, he just said, I didn't even know God was here. Wow. Goosebumps all over my body. And then he left it at that. But in 32, the Bible said, first of all, it was him that was desirous of a touch. If you read that Genesis 32. The Bible said, first of all, he made sure that he told everybody around him, you go to the other side. And the Bible said he was left alone. So he already told himself that we are going to sort out matter today. I had one statement from one somebody, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. He said one of the things that he has noticed in spiritual matters, especially spiritual warfare, is that your deliverance comes when you are tired of being tired. Is when you are desperate, when you are in a place where, look, I need God now, I need Him at all costs. That's a good place to be. And God is saying this morning, when you want my manifest presence to happen, you have to be sensitive. You have to come. And that's why sometimes we close our eyes. Many people don't know why we close our eyes. Closing eyes is not necessary for prayer if you can focus. But many times we close our eyes so that we can focus. That's why sometimes some of us, when we also preach, we close our eyes. Sometimes when I get to a level of preaching, I'm not just closing my eyes for just, reflex action. I'm closing my eyes so that I can focus on something that is also inside of me. So that I can be sensitive to the Spirit. So I'm saying this morning that when it comes to getting to a touch, God's manifest presence has to be converted. God's omnipresence has to be converted to His manifest presence. And one of the ways we do that is sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a very gentle spirit. It's not like evil spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit can be boisterous. Some of it may happen here this morning. The Holy Spirit can be boisterous. You can see some loud stuff and all of that. But ordinarily, especially from a communication perspective, is gentle. That's why it's depicted as a dove that's just moving gently. And you have to be sensitive. You have to be keen. You have to pay attention, else you miss Him. That's why sometimes some people feel like, God does not talk to me. It's not that He does not talk to you. You are just not sensitive. You are just not sensitive. Your signal is clouded. You are noisy. You are full of noise. There's a lot of noise. So everything is saying you can't pick it because there's a lot of noise. Sometimes the noise is everything that you have placed around yourself. Some people, in the place of prayer, you are watching, the TV is on, all kinds of things are happening. And you are saying, it's my spirit that is praying. Yes, it's your spirit that is praying. But your spirit will not be able to receive anything. And people don't even understand that even that your spirit that is praying, it works with your soul. your spirit can get something. If your soul does not pick it through well, you will not be able to understand it. Your soul is what brings understanding. So I'm saying this morning, when it comes to converting the omnipresence of God into the manifest presence of God, into omnipresence of God, you have to be sensitive. And what is it again that I see that happened with this young man in this our story that got him to a touch? The Bible said when he saw Jesus in that certain place, the Bible said the first thing he did was that he fell on his face. He fell on his face. He worshipped Jesus. If I want to permit the power of God to find expression, to touch me, I create an atmosphere of a touch. There is an atmosphere of a touch. There is an atmosphere that I can create around me that can lead to a touch. That's why I was so blessed when you were talking about the fact that people are using words and, you know, and are saying things and all of that kind of thing. One of the things that what the words we say do is that it creates atmosphere. Your words create atmosphere. What David did when he saw Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and when David began to speak, what David was doing with his words was not just that David was boasting. David was creating an atmosphere. David knew that if I bring Goliath under a particular atmosphere, I can bring him down. He understood that in the days when he would be writing the Psalms in the wilderness. He understood that when you get the right atmosphere, you can get results from atmosphere. And when it comes to a touch from God. Oh, my brothers, create the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Create a worshipful atmosphere. Create an atmosphere that God can come and tabernacle on. The Bible says in Psalm 22 and verse 3, it says, you are exalted, O God, who tabernacles, who dwells on the praises, or you live inside the praises of your people. It's like God, when you bring praise, somehow you will bring God. When you bring worship, somehow you will bring God. Sometimes some people are looking for God, but it's in a location, it's in an atmosphere. If you bring the atmosphere, you will bring the God of that atmosphere. So I'm saying to you, what that man did that made him to get a touch, and you'll soon see that that touch was very significant because of his condition. What that man did, that he didn't just get a word, he actually got a touch. Jesus should not have touched this man, but God, this man got a touch. You know why? Because this man fell on his face. And he worshipped. Oh, things are not going the way I want you to go. Fall on your face and worship. I should be more conscious of my experience and my situation more than worshiping God. I need to get to God quickly and let God know that I am in dear trouble. Oh yes, there's a place for that. But can I tell you the truth? That if you can get the atmosphere right, you can get to a touch. I need a touch for my marriage. Create a worshipful atmosphere. I need a touch for my job. Create a worshipful atmosphere. I need a touch for the thing God has called me into. Create a worshipful atmosphere. Don't create a complaining atmosphere. Don't create an atmosphere that is hard for God to move. One of the things that complaint does is it makes the atmosphere to be tensed. If you have ever ministered before, or you've ever held mic in a spiritual setting, one of the things you will understand is that not every place is the same. You can hold mic, you will hold the mic, you have the same note, and you will read the same note, and it's like the words are bouncing back. The atmosphere is tense, and the same you will get to another atmosphere because of the richness of that atmosphere. You will find that you begin to flow. Even God wants atmosphere. He wants atmosphere. That's why when he told us to pray, he said, we'll say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But since you are in heaven, but we need help on land, let heaven kiss the earth. We bring heaven to superimpose itself on earth. Because if we bring the atmosphere of heaven, we'll bring the God of heaven. Many times you need a touch from the God of heaven, sir. Create an atmosphere for the God of heaven. If you create a place, if you create the seat, he will come and sit down there. If you create it, if you build it according to the pattern of heaven, he will come and sit down there. He will come and touch you. And some of us need a touch. We need it desperately. There are some touches that we need. It is not possible, humanly speaking, to happen in the time we need it. That is why you need an atmosphere where the only one who changes things and does not change will come there and superimpose them on that situation. That is what Paul and Silas understood. Paul and Silas understood that, look, there's nothing we can do about this change. There's nothing we can do. And there is an antecedent of these people catching people and killing them after they put them in prison. So maybe this is our last moment. But they didn't complain. They didn't say, God, you know we have been serving you. You know how much we have labored for your kingdom. You know that our debt will not pay you. You know, that's how some people say. You say, what will my dying be for you? This my singleness, what is your gain about it? This my childlessness, what have you to profit from me, oh God? Wrong statement. Create an atmosphere. Sometimes that atmosphere is like you are distracting yourself from the main thing, but you are focusing on the real thing. So that as you are focusing on the real God will take care of that other thing. But many times you are focusing on that other thing, you don't understand that that other thing can be taken care of by the real one. Focus on him. Create an atmosphere in your home, in the morning, in the noontime. Every now and then, play music, sing songs. Let it well up in your heart to create a very praiseful, worshipful nature and atmosphere around your life. Not complaints. Not complaints. Because complaints don't fix the problem. The problem will always be there. But when you change the atmosphere, like this man did, the Bible said he fell down to Jesus' feet, and he worshipped God. That is how to get to a touch. If you are going to get to a touch from God, you have to understand that even if Jesus is in a place that everybody is there, that it is possible that he will come to you alone by allowing yourself to allow him to touch just you because of what you do. By being sensitive to him, by being sensitive to the Spirit of God, and most importantly, creating an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to dwell there. Then another thing I saw with this man was that not just was he sensitive, not just was he worshipful, he became personal with God. He became personal with God. I have discovered that when it comes to dealing with God, God wants to deal with us as a group, you know, the intercessory nature of things that we talked about last week. But much more than that, God also wants to deal with you as a person. He wants you to come to him and deal with him as a person. You know, this man looked at Jesus. And this man addressed Jesus specifically. Now, you need to understand the context of this conversation that this man is having with Jesus. This man says in Luke chapter 5, he says in verse 12, he said, after this man fell on his face, he said, he besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, this man could have said, I know the protocol of leprosy. Because leprosy in the time of Jesus, if you are leprous, you don't come to the priest unless you are clean. You don't even hang around people. So what the man had done, that he came to where Jesus was supposedly an infraction. He had done something he was not supposed to do. And then on top of that, then he now came to the priest and was not telling the priest to do what the priest is not supposed to do, to declare him clean when he's not already clean. He has to be clean and now show himself to the priest. And it is when he was already clean before he came to the priest that the priest now say, go, you are now clean. But he was saying Jesus bypassed the process. And he was not referring to everything that was common to other people. He became personal. He was not general. He was not saying, well, you know that the immigration thing that is happening in Chicago and all of that kind of thing. Of course, God knows about that. Why don't you talk to him personally? What I'm saying to you this morning is that when it comes to getting to a touch, the more personal, the more specific you are, the better for you. Be personal with God. Sometimes you need to watch the way some people pray to God. They pray to a third party God. They pray as if God is, no, he is very close to you. Speak to him like you will speak to me. Be very vulnerable with him and ask him personal, specific, very, very direct things. I like prayers like, God bless me, but I don't understand it sometimes. What does God bless me mean? God should make you understand what you read in the Bible. Is that what you mean? God should make it that as you are going out, if it was colder in the morning, it should not be warm. So what does God bless me mean? Now, can you say God bless me? Of course you can. But many, many times, especially in your one-on-one with God, be very specific. Be very specific. This guy did not go into the history of how he was not clean or how he got into this leprous situation. He told Jesus, make me clean. Me, make me clean. Not make us clean. Not speak the word so that something will happen in the leper colony. Because there was probably a place where people were staying, the leper's colony. He was specific with Jesus. And this morning I'm saying to somebody, be specific with Jesus. Be specific with Jesus. So the more specific, the more personal you are, the better for you. What do I see that got this man to a touch? He was sensitive. He was worshipful. He was personal. I think another thing I see here is that he was expectant. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 18, the Bible says, surely there is an end. And your expectation will not be cut off. How did I know that he was expectant? He didn't say to Jesus, if you are able. He just told Jesus, if you are willing. I know you can. Ability is not your problem. The only thing that may be an issue may be willingness. Now, you and I know that even willingness too, God wants, he wills. Not is he only able, he's also willing. But at least this man had the expectation that the person I'm talking to is able. Expectation, my brother. This morning, we're going to give Jesus some opportunity to touch us, but be expectant. Be expectant that in this service, not another service, not another miracle service, he will touch you. And the touch may not necessarily be as physical as touch can be, but he will touch you. Be very expectant. Be very expectant. So this man was expectant. Of course, his expectation was not that Jesus will touch him. And that's a serious place that we can camp on for a few minutes, you know, and just talk about the fact that Jesus touched him. Jesus could have spoken and say, be clean. But Jesus did something that even humbles me. Because Jesus knows the law. You could see later on when Jesus told him, go and meet the priest and tell them, you know, do all the necessary rites and then go and live your life. Because Moses had some stipulation. And one of the stipulations that Moses had about leprosy is that when somebody is leprous, especially the priest. And remember that Jesus is a priest too. Or is our high priest, okay? And especially the priest must not touch the unclean. Must not touch the unclean. And so, this leprous guy that whenever he's moving, the way he should be moving was that he will be shouting, unclean, unclean, so that anybody, especially priests, especially people of the altar, that see him or can come in contact with him, they will move far away from him. He was supposed to be shouting, unclean, unclean. He now comes to the presence of Jesus, strike number one, and talks to Jesus, strike number two. Then asked Jesus to do something about where he was not supposed to be, strike number three. And then Jesus obliged him. Not just that Jesus obliged him. Not just that Jesus allowed him to do all that he had done. Jesus now said, you are going to be clean. But you see, the way I'm going to do it, I will shatter the mold. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to do what they thought I won't do. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to touch what is leprous about you. I'm going to touch what is weak about you. I'm going to touch what the devil thought he was going to use against you. I'm going to touch what the devil thought was his big deal. I'm going to touch that thing. If you are hearing me this morning, the crux of what I am saying this morning is to, when we are getting to a touch from Jesus, one of the areas he will touch is that area that you thought was an untouchable area. Is that area where others will not touch. Is that area where others cannot see. Is that secret pain. Is that secret life. Is that secret thing. He will touch that area because he's the high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmity, and he wants to be personal with you. He wants to touch where you feel it's an untouchable area. This man would have been fine if Jesus just say, be clean, and he's clean. But Jesus did something that day that he's still doing today, and he will do today. He touched him at the untouchable area. He touched him at the vulnerable, at the place of his vulnerability. And it was because this man brought it to him. He brought this area of his vulnerability, even though he didn't expect Jesus to move in the way Jesus moved. And this morning, I am asking, if you are listening to me, that one of the ways to get to a touch from Jesus is also to bring that area of your vulnerability to him. Because he wants to touch it. He wants to touch that your leprosy. He wants to touch that your weakness. He wants to touch that area that you are not proud of. He wants to touch that area that has ostracized you, that has made you an outcast. It was leprosy. It was this disease that made this guy not to be able to dwell among his people. He was living in another place. And some of us, we are in this prison. I don't know what that prison is. We're in a place where we are ostracized. And Jesus says this morning, I want to touch that area. I want to touch that area. I want to put my hands on it. I want to let my touch come on it. So that in the midst of worship today, in the midst of getting personal in prayer today, I will touch that place. There are people listening to me. There are many days to come, many years to come. You are going to remember this service, that it was on this day, the 26th of October, that Jesus touched this matter. He touched this matter. And your story will now be like Jacob, that there will be a memorial. Because when God touched Jacob in Genesis 32, the Bible says something happened that day, that even till when they were writing that scripture, they were still keeping a particular pattern because of the experience that happened to Jacob. I'm telling you this morning that a touch from God can come to you amidst all of these things that I've talked. But the touch from God, the way God wants that touch to happen, is that he wants to touch areas that you may call untouchable areas. And let me add this to it. Because God wants to touch you, and then you can also touch him. Because of this, that is why you have to be very careful about the things you also touch. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. I'll close with that. Worship team, you can get ready to come here. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. How do I get to a touch? I get to a touch by many of these things that I've talked about, but I also get to a touch by the things I'm also touching. If I'm touching the wrong things, I seemingly exclude myself from touching him or he touching me. There are many times, it is not that God can't reach us. We are the one that created barriers that is not making him to be able to reach us. We have touched what we should not touch. Oh, you touch the glory of God. You touch his glory. You know that you are not the one that, you know that you should have given God the glory, but you stood in that place and made it look like it was your wisdom. You made it look like it was your expertise. It was what you did. And you tell them, let me tell you how I did it. And God is like, okay, how you did it? I know that you showed up, but is it not that I use you as a pawn? Was I not the one that was the chess master that was placing you all over the place? And why wouldn't you acknowledge me in the presence of the people? Many of us, we don't mind acknowledging God in his own, in our secret place. But when it comes to where other people will be, you want to show them that you too, you know something. And hear me very clearly. You need to watch out what you are touching. Because if you want to get to a touch from him, what you are touching also matters. other things that you have touched in the day. Because you see, this old leprous business, I don't have time to walk through it, but this old leprous business, the reason why God told them not to touch leprosy, because they were living as communal people, was that it was contagious. So touching that thing was going to affect other things, was going to affect other people. So it wasn't that God hated lepers and didn't want them to be cured, but he didn't want an epidemic. And hear me, many things God tells us not to touch, is because when you touch it, it will touch many other things. It will spoil many other things. He says, don't touch somebody that is not your wife. It is not because God does not want, he created pleasure. It is said that created pleasure. Do you understand? What this whole sex thing is all about is God that created it before Genesis 3. So when God says, don't touch it outside my context, it is because he knows that when you touch it outside the context of where you should touch it, you'll be contaminated. Because not every contact is good. There are some contact that leads to contamination. And if it was going to contaminate only one thing, we would have left it. But sometimes it contaminates many things. It messes up many things. We thought it was only Esau that was doing something for himself and selling his birthright. We didn't know that Esau was handling over a whole generation and messing them up. It was not contact, touching the wrong thing, that even still got us here. God told Abraham, he said, touch every other thing, but there are some things you shouldn't touch. This one, don't touch. Ah, the devil said, no. God cannot mean that. God cannot really be serious. God, no, it's not really that serious. It's not that deep. Just like some people say, God is a merciful God. But I'm saying this morning, if you are going to a touch from God, you must watch what you are touching. Many of us touch anything and everything. We touch what we should not touch. We touch God's money. We touch God's glory. We touch many other things that God is quickening you and saying, touch not. If you want him to touch you, you have to have your own touch knots. There are many touch knots that he'll be bringing your way. If you want a touch from him, you have to, I have to be, you have to be a people of touch not. Oh, you can't just walk anyhow. There is something about when you carry God, you like the ark of God, there is an atmosphere you have to keep. And it has to be a clean atmosphere. You see that clean, unclean that was happening in that story? There's a lot of things that we can see about it because there is something about clean. That's where God lives. And this morning, God is saying to you, you're going to a touch. You want a touch from me. You want me to touch you. You want to touch me. But you have to touch not. You have to learn that there are things you can't touch. There are people you can't touch. There are things you can't touch with your mouth. Because, you know, sometimes some people say, okay, pastor says I should not touch, so I will not touch physically. It's not only physical. You can touch with your mouth. That's why the Bible says, touch not my anointed. And do my prophet no harm. You see, that statement there, it does not mean you don't touch them on their body. No, don't even touch them with your words. There are touch knots. Don't touch with your words. Don't use words. You know, pastor was talking about the fact that people use words wrongly. You see, one of the wrong ways to use words is gossips. Don't touch. Your brother, you are killing your brother with your words. The other day I preached many, I think in that other place before we came here, I preached on Brother's Keeper. If you go to YouTube, maybe you can find it. Very good message. And I was talking about the fact that in the church today, instead of Brother's Keepers, we have Brother Killers. Brother Killers. And they are not doing what Cain did, that he used an implement. They are using their words. They are using their words to touch God's people. And they are slaughtering God's people. And they say, is it not just words that I just say? And I'm just saying my mind. And I'm just saying, but you are using words to damage people. And God this morning is saying, touch not. Because that's how you get to a touch. He wants to touch you. But it's as if when he comes, he says, this guy has been participating in many, many touch not. We too will not touch him. We will not touch him. That's what Isaiah chapter 59 was saying. He says God wanted to save. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save. But it's as if when he gets close to save and to touch you, there is a resistance. There is something that says touch not. Because you have gone to touch what you should not touch. Can you stand to your feet this morning? God is calling, and there is availability of us getting to a touch. Of us getting to a touch. I put you in front of my melody. You were all that matters. You were all that matters. Go ahead.